Good evening and welcome to this probably going to be the very best Shed session ever. Sorry about all the other bands and Ian's looking at me thinking I'm going crazy, but this is amazing. The setup looks incredible. I'm so happy that I'm joined by Yalow County in the Shed, and they've got some amazing equipment and it just looks fabulous. I'm so happy to be able to share this space with you and so grateful you've come to join us today. So it's wonderful to see you, Kat, Paddy, and George. How are you all doing?
We're very cozy. Very cozy. It's nice to be this close to each other, to be honest. We could get a lot of eye contact in. I feel like the vibes will be flowing. You guys like it as well, right? No, you like being far away from us, each other.
Yeah, it's very nice, very cozy. George is just tucked in the corner. We have to do this in our home space, actually. Yeah. The kind of ride symbol sits just over the top keyboard, so you have to really use every angle.
We've just built a shed in the bottom of our garden, mine and Paddy's garden, and it's about this size.
Oh, good. So this is good practice. Have you actually used the shed yet?
Yeah, we have. And Paddy had a band rehearsal with his other band called Zaya. And there's how many people in that band? It's a reggae band. So he plays in a punk band, a reggae band, and then this, which is kind of like floaty folk. But there's about five or six people, is there, in that band? Yeah. So, yeah,
so
it's
you're
doable.
You're used to playing in small spaces like this. Well, that's good. And you look really cozy down there, Kat, in the between the synths and the keyboards and the PA and the drums behind you. But I'm glad it all fitted in, and I'm really excited about the music that you're going to share with us today. But before we start, I'll have a chat about the plants outside and the weather. And I usually speak about the raspberries, but as you can see, they are dying down and I'm going to have to wait for the second crop. But there's two different types. So the first type has already produced fruit and the second type will do it a little bit later. And my focus has turned to the grapevines, which run along the south-facing fence. And there's going to be some really good bunches of grapes. And what people don't realize is that you can grow all sorts of stuff in England, loads of homegrown specialities. Don't look at me like that, Ian. Not the other homegrown. I stopped that years ago. But it's looking great. The garden is looking wonderful. And it's just such a... I feel so lucky to have this space at the end of the garden. And you can hear the birds tweeting away. It's a really nice summer's evening. It's been quite humid and the rains come down every now and then it gets humid again. But I think we're managing all right. And the other thing that's happened today is my very best friend has driven all the way from, well, I thought he had driven from Scotland, because he sent a message on the way down saying he was running late. And I thought, oh, it doesn't matter, he's driving from Scotland. But he actually had driven from Scotland to Bristol yesterday. So he only had to drive from Bristol to here. So I didn't actually feel that forgiving this time, because he could have got here earlier, but he was a bit late. But he's my oldest friend from primary school in South Africa. We met when we were 5 years old, and he's still around and we still see each other. A couple of weekends ago I went and saw him in Glasgow and we had a great weekend. Ended up at a rave on the outskirts of Glasgow. How does that happen?
What's a rave like in Glasgow?
It was fun. Yeah. Really good fun. And there was so many interesting people, and like people with bunny ears and stuff, and it was mad. And I got on the stage at one point and did a bit of a dance, and I don't do that, but yeah, there must have been something in the air. So yeah, we did all of that. And I'm just looking at my notes here so I don't forget. Yeah, and Greg, just one other story about Greg is he got into grunge music in the 90s, same time as I did. We were in high school. We finished high school in 1994, and that was around the time when it was that whole grunge scene. So Soundgarden, Stone Temple Pilots, Alice in Chains, there was just tons of it. Mazzy Star, which I know you did a great cover of the other night. And we went on our matric holiday, which is matriculation, end of high school, to this place called Kenton-on-Sea, which is in the Eastern Cape. And we drove down there in my Beetle. I don't know how it made it, but we got there. And the whole way we were listening to Soundgarden Super Unknown on like a CD player that plugs into the cassette. So it's got a cable attached to a cassette into there. And also Cranberries, No Need to Argue. And the song we loved was Zombie. It was like, I loved the build up. And then when it just suddenly went, Zombie, and then we would be head banging in the car as we're driving, kind of like Wayne's World when they do that Bohemian Rhapsody thing. And then when we got to Kenton-on-Sea, we had rented this house out, and all we wanted to do was mosh everywhere. So we would like bring the speakers outside at night, and then we'd play Zombie, and then we'd all be like jumping around, and we wanted to create like a muddy effect, like on Pearl Jam Versus, on the back cover you see their legs and there's all that mud, and we were just crazy for that whole grunge thing. And there were moments when we were on this beach buggy. I don't know what a beach buggy is. It's like a, it's got a Beetle engine and they make a noise and there's an open top. Somehow we met someone who had one, and we were on this thing hanging off the side and hitting the hubcaps while Zombie was playing really loudly. And Greg was one of my partners in crime. So it's really exciting to have him, and we have good times together. And I'm so glad it coincided with this. And he's really, he makes me feel quite like I've achieved something, and he's really proud of me. And, you know, he's like, oh, wow, this is great. You know, this is so nice you're doing this, because I've been telling him for ages what I've been up to, and now he's kind of got a flavor of it. So, and I'm glad you're here for that, and I'm really excited. My best buddies here, and not to mention Ian and Alex are here too. And thank you for doing the photos, Alex, and thank you, Ian, for doing the audio as always. Really pleased to have you all here, and I can't wait to hear the first song you're gonna play for us.
Do it now?
If you want,
oh, yeah.
do you want to go for it? There it is.
It was George's big moment. We handed him the mic, but he didn't actually say anything into it. George, it's your moment.
Oh, I reckon George could be a good singer too.
Yeah, freestyle. Yeah, we always feel like we're like friends from school with George, and then we remember we're 10 years older than him. Which is always a bit of a shock for us. But me and Paddy are friends from school. Now,
oh, wow.
Now we're together.
And you're expecting a baby soon.
Yeah, exactly. So, but we met at school, didn't we? We used to play a bit of music when we were in sixth form.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought he was a bit crazy back then, but he mellowed. I've got a lot of memories of like snow days where he was just attacking me. Like on the, you know, everyone goes to like a hill when it's a snow day, and you just like have massive snowball fights. I just got loads of pictures of me just getting like slammed in the face with snowballs from Paddy.
I've mostly mellowed out, not fully, I'd say.
He does go on mad ones, like you're describing the Glasgow night out.
Yeah.
Paddy's.
Would he be a good friend to tag along? Okay, we'll see you there. But so that was how he showed how he kind of fancied you, by throwing loads of snowballs at you.
Maybe. I didn't get that message until I was 27, so it wasn't most effective, but we got there.
It worked in the end.
I'm so sorry.
We're going to start that intro again, because it's a bit out of tune.
Thank you.
that is mesmerizing, stunning, beautiful. Wow. And I'm so happy you started with your new song. That's Pink Blossom. Yeah. You released that in May, which is the perfect time of year for it, isn't it?
It was. I think we recorded it like the week before. Paddy had just written it. So we're like, quick.
That's
the
epic.
Blossom's going to be gone, guys. We better get a move on it.
Oh, stunning. And I saw the photo you have on your band Instagram account for that song. And you've got all that blossom in the background and the photographer, Helen Messenger. Beautiful pictures.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's just, because we didn't really have a plan, did we? It was during the recording. Basically, we were recording at home. We said we're just going to try a few. And Kat sort of decided at midnight on the first recording day that we're going to do a photo shoot without a plan of where we're going, basically. So we just said to her.
We saw some rapeseed.
We're trying to find some rapeseed fields. We thought there was some in Abingdon, but there weren't any. So we said we'll just drive around and look for some.
We took
a
magic mystery.
Yeah, exactly. But she was so lovely about it. She said, I'll just follow your car and we'll just see where we end up, kind of thing.
Perfect. Was it Whiteham Woods? Where was that?
Yeah,
Whiteham Woods.
Bagley Woods. And we were somewhere in Abingdon at one point by water. And then we drove somewhere near Radley Largewood. But then we trespassed on some university grounds because we saw some good blossom. So we were like jumping over the fence. There was a big sign. We're like, yeah,
we can
this
do
is
this.
Rock and roll, man.
Well, they came out beautifully.
Yeah, we really like them. She just goes with it. We did another shoot with her before for Cat Cod, where we decided to put all of the band in a canoe with all of our instruments. But we didn't really take into consideration how heavy it would be and also how, like, you're not very buoyant, but you're also not very balanced. So we kind of scared the life out of our guitarist who's scared of water because we nearly rocked in with all of our equipment. So she was there for that as well. So she must think we're a bit strange.
Sounds fun. I mean, canoes to balance are tricky at the best of times, aren't they?
And yeah.
I think the equipment's probably very allergic to water, yeah. Let alone the people.
You had your nice Moog in there, didn't you? You nearly had a heart attack.
This one. Which were,
was it that one?
Yeah. I got it for £80 about 7 years ago, so I've just been bashing them around, and now I've seen on eBay they're going for sort of £700, so I'm like, okay. Should probably take a bit more care of it.
That's a sound investment. Excuse the pun. I just made that one up there. I don't usually do those, they're a bit cringy. But yeah, so Yalow County feels to me like, obviously it's a new band, it's risen from Cat God. I don't know if that's the correct terminology, but how can you rise from something so great? And both Paddy and George, all of you were in Cat God. Can you tell me a bit more about how Yalow County came about?
Yeah, I guess so. Like in Cat God, we had Robin in there as well, which was Cat's brother. And he moved to Iceland, basically, and decided he was on a journey to Iceland. So we loved playing with each other, so we decided to continue with each other. But Kat and Paddy have a nice little shed in their garden, so we kind of decided to continue writing songs in that shed and recording, and that was our first... this first song we wrote in that shed.
What were other names we were
going to
have?
Oh, God.
What was the one?
We had
Pete's Pink Eyed Pride.
Yeah, we were like, we really didn't know.
Longer than that.
No, that was very close to being our name.
Well, I think they both would have worked, but should I even ask how that came about? Was Pete's Pink Eyed Pride? It's alliteration.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that came from. Exactly. What was the other one?
There was a few flowery ones, weren't there?
George has a list on his phone of about, how many do you reckon? 200, 300 band names?
Yeah,
just a big long list. And we went through all of them and they weren't quite right. But you're in loads of other bands as well, so you can save them all for your other bands.
I used to love thinking of band names in school, like coming up with loads of band names. I especially like punk band names.
Yeah.
They come out really well. Just two words, like Spank Hair. But are they kind of punk? Maybe. But Yellow County, I looked it up, and it's also flower related. It's I don't know if that was the intention. It's a yellow lily.
Yeah.
I've never seen one in real life. I don't think I have.
Yeah. It's got all sorts of like evocative things. I don't know, lilies are kind of special to me. My stepsister, well, she died, sadly, but she had lilies on her grave. And I don't know, there's something about that's really struck a chord with me, and I just love lilies in general. You give them to people as condolences, but there's something uplifting about the yellow, something like friendship. And so I wanted something that meant something, really, because I feel emotional when we play together.
Yeah, for sure. And it was that time when we were really getting the tunes together was spring, and that feeling of spring, and it felt like the whole project was kind of inspired by spring in a way. It seemed to be the way we were writing, and that feeling of elation of coming out of darkness and getting into that light felt like a big part of the project kind of thing. So Yellow County had that feeling to it. So we thought,
it's like a positive coming out from something hard. I don't know. And lilies come out of water as well. Like, that's emotional. You know, water lilies do, at least. Not Yellow County lilies, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a great name. And I think for all those reasons, it's beautiful. When I think of lilies, I think of that Nirvana MTV Unplugged where they had all the lilies all over the stage. And that was the first time I really noticed them as flowers. I think my whole life is dominated by music references. So I guess I learned along the way with what was happening in music. But that really struck me. And when I found out that this was a yellow lily, I was like, yes, that's so cool. It's a really nice name. And I had the honor of seeing you perform recently at Port Mahon, which is a pub towards the east side of Oxford, and they've got a nice upstairs venue. It's quite an old building. Mm. And that was your second gig together, and the first one was at the Jericho Tavern, another pub with loads of history, and loads of great bands have played there. And I must say, I had such a wonderful night, and it was, I got the same feeling standing here listening to Pink Blossom, and that the same feeling that I got when I was in there. But starting the evening, I didn't have like a panic attack or something, but Simon Vaney,
yeah.
He was amazing. And then Rita
Gitta Derrida.
Sorry, I said it the wrong way around. Incredible. But during the first set, I went on my own, and I often go to gigs on my own. I reached a point where I was just like, I don't feel right. I don't feel right. And I don't know what it was. And I don't know if anyone else gets that feeling. And then I had to sort of leave and go walk down the street after the first set, because I was like, I don't think I can stay. I'm feeling really out of sorts. And then I phoned Joe and had a chat with her on the phone. And I think she could tell I was like kind of freaking out a little. And I was like, what's going on? And then she kind of, we chatted and laughed and everything. And then she helped me loads, and I'm really grateful for that. And then I went back in and saw the next act, and then things just sort of lifting up, and then the night ended up completely different to how it started. And so the music again helped me through that. So
very interesting you say that, because pretty much the exact thing happened to me at the same gig, because I played a song with Simon, and at that point I was telling, like, I don't know if it was the room or the feeling of lots of people, but I was kind of in this space as like, oh, this is not pleasant. And then just having to go up on stage, I was like, right, I've got to play now. This is kind of weird. So I did the tune with Simon, then I just went to South Park and just like looked at the spires until sort of half an hour before I was due to play, and then found the energy then. I was like, no, I'm in the zone now. I'm just going to, you know, I bumped into, you know, James Gallagher. He was here with Pet Twin. I
heard
I chatted to him, bumped into him in the garden, and I was kind of like, I'm going to slightly talk to you, but it was quite nice in a way, because I'm just completely in the zone now. I'm going to filter everything else and play kind of thing, which is a nice place to be. Like, gigs can be, for me, the most stressful bit is all the interactions. You're sitting like, you're seeing all these people. And then you can struggle to focus on the music. So I almost have to take myself out of it and then just say, that's what I'm going to do. That's my task now, as it were.
Oh, that's very interesting. And thank you for sharing that, because sometimes you feel alone when you have a bit of a freak out. And at least, you know, it's something you can overcome. And I think music definitely helps me with that. So I'm, yeah, that's interesting. I don't know, that building I went to, and I like going to gigs there, but I've been upstairs there before, and I'm not superstitious or scared of ghosts and things, but I don't know what, I went in there once before, and the music was fantastic, and I was with my friend that time, and I said, Chris, mate, I'm going to have to duck, you know, I can't be in here. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen often, but, you know, sometimes maybe it's the Port Mahon, but equally, on the flip side, it creates the most amazing sounds and feelings, so it was a good one. Loved it. Loved Yellow County. It was fantastic. So, yeah. Thank you. To have you here in the shed, it's just a dream. I went inside and spoke to my family and I said, I feel a bit out of my depth because these guys are so good and they're going to be huge. Cat God was on the trajectory. It was, I read stuff about Cat God as being like in the top five Oxford bands at the time. And I just think there's such great energy around what you're doing and I'm really, really excited. So, yeah.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to hear another tune if you got one.
What are we going to do next, guys?
You want to do Mazzy next?
Yeah, just for you, in honour. We knew that this was going to be mentioned, so we're doing a Mazzy Star cover.
Oh, wow, and you did this at Port Mahon, and it was so, so brilliant. And then the Kate Bush cover as well. Oh, she's there. Yeah, I was listening to it today because I thought I need to hear that again. And I'm guilty of thinking Mazzy Star is a person, but it's a band.
It's a whole band. Yeah.
I thought just Mazzy Star was the singer, but her name's Hope. I don't know what her surname is, but yeah,
she's
fantastic.
Got amazing stage presence, hasn't she, when you watch her live.
It's so good. And by the way, you do too, and we'll get on to that.
Am I right staying down here? Is the light right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got my tambourine again. Oh, well.
Thank you.
It's strange as light, it comes on slowly. It's strange as heart, it's out of home. You put your hands into your head. A million smiles cover your heart. How fade into you. Strange, you never knew.
That is a beautiful song, and you sang it so, so well. And the instrumentation behind it, I think it's one of those covers that sound better than the original. I'm sorry, Mazzy Star, but I was at a show, where was I? At the library. I've been to loads of gigs recently. I was at the library on Cowley Road, and I saw Lee Switzerwolf and then Crandall after Lee Switzerwolf. And Crandall did a cover of Shania Twain, I think, I Feel Like Man, I Feel Like a Woman. Yeah, yeah. And it was brilliant. And then my friend who was with me said, like, this was really good. What's your favorite cover that you think is better than the original? And I said, Yellow County, Fade Into You by Mazzy Star. And he's like, what? And I'm trying to find it so I can play it for him. Is it available on SoundCloud or anywhere like that?
No.
Just he'll get to hear it on this.
Yeah. I'd love to record a proper one.
Yeah, you just have.
There you go. Yeah. Go on, he can. He'll listen to the podcast and he'll get to hear it. But do you have a favorite cover that you think is better than the original? I know that's a bit on the spot there, but.
Maxi Priest's Wild World, you know that tune?
Yeah.
You know that one, yeah. Yeah.
It's a very good
one originally, but yeah, it's just a very nice rhythm. So yeah, I'd go for that one.
Nice.
I've gone blank. I can't think of one.
That's okay. And another one I quite like is Man Who Sold the World by... That's a Bowie song, but Nirvana cover that. That's good in that MTV Unplugged. That's a good one.
Oh, you got
George has got one.
There's a song called Fairy Tale Lullaby by John Martin. And Bombay Bicycle Club covered that.
Did they?
On their second album called Flaws. That was really good.
I'm gonna listen to that. Wow, that's exciting. There's something special about when a band does a cover and then puts it onto an album as well. And I think that's really bold and brave, and it's a nice tribute to the original artists.
I've got one. What's that jazzy guy we always watch his live videos?
George Benson,
yeah. Who did he cover? Because I didn't realise it was another band till recently. Paddy's like my memory right now.
I need one of those, maybe.
My backup memory. He covered someone who's like a really... We heard it in another context, and then suddenly I was like, oh, shit, he's covered it.
I've gone blank. I can't picture.
Anything by George Benson is great, but... Yeah, especially live. But he does a cover of a band. That's good. There's really not much context to that, but I just remember listening to it and thinking it was great. It'll come back to me.
Well, that's good, because people who listen then can use those clues and try find out more, and then hopefully... Yeah, listen. I'll definitely listen to the one you recommended, or both of those. And I was going to say about your performance at Port Mahon and your stage presence. I think all of you looked so great on the stage. I'm very, like, I take in a lot of the visuals when I'm watching a performance, and the drums just mesmerizing, lovely to watch, and the keys you've got right now. You've got the piano, the synth, the bass, all the, what have you, what have you got there, Paddy? There's lots.
I've got a Nord basically, which is sends three outputs basically. So one's the bass, one's the piano, one's the synth, and then there is a middle one, which I'm glad I didn't bring because it's even bigger than the Nord, and that just wouldn't have fitted, basically. So yeah, I basically send five outputs out, basically all do separate things. That is what's so nice about the Port Mahon, is that this incredible bass amp from the 70s, it's Acoustic Corp, it was called. As soon as I ran the bass through that, I was like, okay, this is going to be a good gig. It's just kind of like, okay, yeah, yeah, this is going to play me, basically. I don't have to do anything, just a wall of bass. Yeah, in three, this one, basically. It's got three outputs, and then there's another one there. The other huge stage piano, we realised for sort of loud, plugged-in gigs, some of the patches on it, nothing sounded as good, so I was like, I'm going to have to take it, basically. And one on top normally does kind of drone, so just kind of fill it out, basically. It's been quite a long journey with the home studio, just sort of sitting down there and actually building patch spaces to making sure it's... Because basically, you know, harmonic-wise, there's not another guitarist, etc., so I'm basically trying to fill in as much as possible, physically possible, basically, with the bass and the mids and all that stuff and melodies and that sort of stuff. Three pedals normally, but two today, basically. So certain tunes are quite a technical undertaking, basically. You really have to have everything lined up and kind of arranged and play in the exact point. But it's fun. It's just, you need to be prepared, though, basically.
Yeah, I can tell there's a lot to prepare here. And I've noticed one of the keys on your Nord there looks like it's got a chunk off it.
Yeah, that was the Catgord album launch, actually, just before we were about to play. I was pulling the stands forward and then it just dropped off and smashed into the ground.
Can you still play that note?
Yes, I can. Yeah, can get some bass out of it. My worry was when it broke off that it would be doing that and stuck down and it would have ruined the gig, basically, because all the preparation, it would just be outputting the whole time. But I'm really glad at that Port Mahon gig that we did the kind of side on drums, because we're the only band with drums, basically. So sort of George one side, me the other side, and then Cat in the center. It was quite a nice dynamic that we're kind of the music supporting, then Cat's the kind of focal point, sort of figurehead. It was a nice dynamic to play that way and kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it looked fantastic, yeah. The setup. Like what we've got in here is almost a condensed version of that. And Kat, you were wearing the most amazing dress. It had like shiny, what do you call that?
Sequins.
And yeah. it almost like scales of a fish, like a mermaid.
Yeah.
And you were, at the start of the gig, you were on the floor with your back to the audience and you were like kind of moving and swaying, and I'm doing that now. No one can see me except you. And you could see your hair moving and all the little fairy lights around the drums. There was like a tangle of lights everywhere. And it just, we knew there was something really special about to happen. And then it starts off with those, is that Magdalen College, the bells or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're Oxford bells, aren't they?
Yeah, it definitely brought us in. And I was chatting to someone, I think the photographer was, he was chatting at the back to me, we were chatting together, and then we could hear the bells and then looked, and then we could see you moving on the stage, and then it slowly built and built, and it really set it up nicely. And your presence, positioning on the stage was perfect, and you had the audience in the palm of your hand. It was spectacular. What a great show. And yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it was nerve-wracking without Robin there, because I'm used to being two people at the front. So yeah, so I'm glad it went. I felt the energy was good.
Yeah, there was mega energy in there. It was very cool. should we go into another song? I always feel a bit weird, like saying, like, can I hear another tune or whatever? But yeah. Yeah, I think that's all right.
Yeah, let's do it. We're going to do Fighting For. We're not sure how this is going to work in this setup, but we're going to give it a whack and then...
What a trip. That is so good. I lost myself out there in the rain you probably hear the rain coming down on all the leaves outside, and yeah, I'm covered in goosebumps. That was just wonderful. Like every sound sort of met somewhere in the air, and it was perfect. The drumming, George, that track, that song, the sound of the drums is perfect. It just carries through beautifully. It's like that train that's taking you along a journey, and it's wonderful. Like the clicking of the track, I don't know what it is, but that comes through big time. It's
Thank
a goodie.
You very much. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I think it's quite weird because we kind of wrote it in the small space. We have to be quite conscious of noise, so we recorded like an original demo, and I'm using like hot rods, which are these sort of quiet sticks, and it had a really nice effect to it, even though it's quite a busy song and fast-paced with the drumming especially. It's got a nice contrast on the recorded version that we've got as like a demo, which I'm sure will release at some point.
Wow, so good. I wish that could go on for 23 minutes, like Tubular Bells or something. Just go on, go more. It was very, very nice to listen to that. And George, your drums, I'm looking at that. What's the one on the top there with that?
This is my snare drum.
Snare drum. Yep. And it's got a lovely brushed finish. It's like a steel on the edges.
This is, it's originally, it's a Ludwig Supraphonic from 1972. And it's been resprayed around the outside. So I got it extra cheap on eBay because it's no longer a collectible item. But I think it looks cool. I think it looks better than the original.
It sounds very, very good. And I think it looks totally cool too. Ludwig, is that one of your preferred brands of drumming equipment?
Yeah, I guess so. This snare drum, I think they're the most recorded drum in history, these drums. So they're like a bit of a workhorse. So this is my only snare drum and I use it for everything.
It will be worth a fortune. Who knows? Like the Moog, did you say?
One of these.
And then they kind of, do they go in and out of favor? Or what happens? Like some instruments just become collectible?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. There was a sweet spot with these. They're 80 quid. I should have bought more, basically. Because it's the Rolands, is what I swear by them. The sound of them, all the patches in there, just that cold, like... That vibe, I tried with everything with a Nord, and you just don't get the same vibe. You never get
that in all your bands, don't you?
Every van is just a drone that is somewhere.
Yeah, I like it so much. Why don't we go into? I think we're. Do you have a couple more? Is it?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we could listen to one more or two more.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we got two more.
There's the drone.
Yes.
Shout out to the drone.
Oh, my mind.
Ethereal, mystical, magical, and to hear the raindrops pattering outside. I hope it sounds good with the recording. I'm sure it will, but it's just, you've created such a wonderful atmosphere inside the shed, and okay. Yeah, the music is just brilliant. What have we got to look forward to with regards to live performances coming up, any recordings going on?
Yeah, Riverside Festival. In 10 days, maybe, roughly. It's come around quickly, hasn't it? Yeah. So that's our next one we're playing on this Saturday. And with recordings, we've done one. We've sort of deliberately not kind of gone down the streaming route yet, really. We've just kind of said when people come to gigs, they want to sign up to the mailing list and we'll send them the song. We've recorded it ourselves, we've mixed it ourselves, and we're just kind of keeping it that way. So that tune, I'm nearly there mixing, basically, but you can go kind of drive yourself mad mixing. So I've got better at giving myself a break kind of thing. And I think when it's ready, we'll release it. And when people are coming to the gigs, we'll just say, yeah, at some point, we'll send you the next one. You can have it for free kind of thing. We're just doing it like that. Anyone who's kind of invested in the music, who wants to be part of it, is a welcome kind of thing. So it's a nice way to do it. It feels very unpressured kind of thing.
I really like that. I liked being able to sign up. And I did at the Port Mahon gig. And I got sent Pink Blossom, two versions of it, and what a treat. And I like the pace, and I like the way you use your social media. It's not kind of overdoing it, and it's beautiful photos, and it's just right. And I suppose then you can focus on your music and all that other stuff. It doesn't really matter, it will all fall into place, but yeah. Music is the key, so it's I can easy. Definitely tell that's what's going on.
Yeah, it's easy to get kind of sucked into that machine of productivity, I think, as well. And I think part of that is the whole pushing things online, which you should do because you obviously believe in what you're putting forward. But when it becomes like trying to get yourself on Spotify playlists and then playing and paying someone to promote your music, when you get on good radio shows and things like that, like we've been on some Six Music shows, which we are super proud of, but you kind of lose the love for what you're doing, and that's really why we're doing it. So that's why I want to keep it simple, don't we?
Yeah, and it keeps a bit of mystery there, and you're preserving your artistic integrity. And I think most artists will come to a point where you've got to choose, don't you? You've got to think, am I going to go down that slippery slope, or am I going to kind of dig my heels in a bit and just do it on my terms? And I think that's really special. And I get a similar feeling every now and then with this podcast, for example. And a friend told me, you need to post something every day. And I'm like, no, you know, people get like annoyed with that. What am I trying to do? If people like it, they will come, you know. So I'm really impressed. I think this is a beautiful path that you're taking. And I'm so glad to be able to share it with you at this stage. And I hope we can work together at some point. I'll be at the Riverside Festival chatting to people backstage, I guess, and that should be fun, and look forward to seeing you there and catching up. And I suppose we could play out with a song, but before I go, I just want to thank everyone here again. Thanks, Alex. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, George and Paddy. And it's been a really special evening, and I'm so happy to be able to share these sounds with my family. Just that I can hear their voices every now and then, and It's a wonderful positive thing, and the shed is becoming richer. It's seeping into the walls, and you've added to it. So thank you. Thanks everyone.
For having us. It's been a pleasure, honestly. Yeah, it's been lovely.
I'm glad. Thank you.
Okay, so the last one is Roses.
always say we'll play it out and you won't hear from me again, but I've got to say that it's just beautiful. I've run out of adjectives. It was perfect. And so wonderful for your baby to be part of this too, and to hear your voice and to hear the keys and the drums, and it's such a brilliant start. So congratulations and all the best.
Thank you.